Picture a red-bricked industrial building with bare steel girders that has been converted into a series of shops that spanned over a few different floors. One of these shops sold Beanie Babies, and this is the only place I can ever recall buying them from. I was never really that into them. I did collect a few, but it was mainly my sister who loved them, and I can remember her having loads. The big selling point to the toys were that kids could afford them. Costing around £5 here in the UK, they were just about the right price for children to ask for them as gifts or spend their saved pocket money on. There would always be that additional cost of around 20 pence though, because you would be asked if you wanted a tag protector. Protecting the tag was crucial, as the collectible aspect of the toys meant that they were intended to be kept in as pristine condition as possible. And the tag was only like this little cardboard thing that could easily be damaged. Beanie Babies were essentially stuffed animals, but instead of being filled with that traditional teddy bear filling, they contained plastic pellets, similar to what you'd find if you hacked open a bean bag. Hence the name, Beanie Baby. These creations were the idea of a former aspiring actor by the name of H. Ty Warner. In 1983, when Warner was 39, he quit his long-standing position at the Daikin Toy Company and, using a $50,000 inheritance from his father, formed his own company, which would design and manufacture stuffed animals. Warner's creation was different to the commonplace stuffed animal found in your average department store. These weren't filled with the classic fluffy stuffing. The cuddly, pillow-like filling was replaced with plastic beanbag-style pellets, which gave the animal a slumped, stooping appearance. Warner claimed that the bean filling gave the animals more realism and a lifelike feel, which was less stiff than traditional filling. It was this aspect of the toys that gave his competitors within the industry the idea to berate the design, comparing the animals to roadkill. Warner wasn't deterred and continued with his idea, developing the toys and calling the first edition the Himalayan Cats. The local stores which stocked them quickly sold out, which lit a fire to create more. He wanted to market the cats as a realistic imitation of real animals. So he would walk into local stores, holding one of his creations in his arms and stroking it as if it was a real living cat that he was comforting. When people asked about the animal, thinking it was real, he would invite them over to pet it and then reveal that it was just a stuffed cuddly toy. H. Ty Warner began to grow the brand, taking the new toys to the Atlanta Toy Fair, where he sold 30,000 units. By the end of 1992, Ty Inc. had a range of animals in their catalogue, which stuck to Warner's idea of keeping the price affordable for children. He always said that the toys available for children to buy with just their pocket money were low quality and trash. He wanted kids to be able to buy his high-quality items themselves, so therefore he kept the price at just $5. Ty Inc. took strategic steps to construct a level of exclusivity surrounding their products. The company made the decision to only allow distributors to purchase just 36 of each animal per month. Ty would regularly amend designs, releasing new variations and sometimes even completely stopping the manufacture of certain types. An early example of this was Peanut the Elephant, who was originally dark blue in colour. Only a few thousand were produced before the updated light bluish version was released. This led to the dark blue version becoming extremely valuable, and auction websites saw people bidding thousands of dollars for the elephant toy, as the blue version was now much less common. The hysteria seems insane for a children's cuddly toy that originally retailed at just $5. the internet had a huge impact on the rise of the Beanie Baby craze. In 1995, Ty was the first to establish a business-to-consumer website, thanks to Lina Trevidi, who approached Ty Warner with the idea. The "Visit our webpage" message printed on the Beanie Baby tags invited customers online to interact further with the brand. To raise the exclusivity factor even higher, around every 6 months or so, Ty would make the decision to retire Beanie Babies, creating a scarcity and mystery surrounding the brand. Which one will they decide to retire next? Savvy enthusiasts would comb through the company website looking for clues as to which one would be the next animal to retire so they could get in early and maximize profit. Along with their cute names, the company started giving each character a birthday and poem on their tags. This created a personality for the animal and also boosted the popularity even more than before. I would probably be looking for one with my birthday on, or a poem that gelled with my personality. Now you can search online to see if you share your birthday with one of the Beanie Babies. Okay, so we're going to take a little break, so hold on tight, we'll be back after these messages. I'm back just as promised, so let's get straight to it. Fast food chain McDonald's always used to cash in on popular crazes in order to sell more processed fast food to children. They gave away so many promotional miniatures with their Happy Meals that the toys often became collector's items of their own. Smart move from Mackey D's. One of their promotional lines from 1997 was Teeny Beanies. The Happy Meal toys were supposed to be part of a 5-week-long marketing campaign. However, the toys sold out in just a week. And that was despite McDonald's implementing a 5-toy-per-person limit. Just imagine how many Happy Meals they sold. It really does seem like what was originally an innocent idea for a children's stuffed toy shifted to be predominantly an adult collectible, which was to be purchased and traded for profit. Adult themes clouded the bean-filled creations, which included divorce, obsession, bankruptcy, and crime. A couple who was getting divorced had to seek help from a judge to split their large Beanie Baby collection, which was worth up to $5,000. They failed to amicably decide who was to keep which Beanie Babies themselves, so they literally had to get the law involved. If you're keeping the BMW and the kids, I'm having Peanut the Elephant. Adults would find out which shops would stock specific Beanie Babies and what day and time they had deliveries so that they could be the first in line. Driving around to multiple shops to find new releases would be the new priority. Sorry, boss, I can't come to work today. I'm sick.
You're sick every Monday, John. Are you back on the beans?
Counterfeit copies were being created. One man even served prison time for his involvement in smuggling and selling fakes on the internet. And a McDonald's employee was found guilty of stealing $6,000 worth of Teeny Beanies from her workplace to sell on for profit. Can you imagine that conversation with your cellmates? With any luck, though, they would at least have something to discuss with them, because they may well have become buddies with fellow inmates who had committed similar crimes. A burglar who was dubbed the Beanie Baby Bandit managed to rob a stationery store in New York and make off with 200 of the valued toys. The toy's retail price was $5, so the bandit's score was technically $1,000. However, the resale value of the stolen animals was much more than that, usually multiple times the store price, and some even went for $1,000 each. When the popularity of Beanie Babies started to decline, Ty made the announcement that they would no longer produce Beanie Babies. The last animal to be released was a black bear, appropriately named The End. Surprisingly, this did not lead to an increase in value of existing Beanie Babies. This hiatus did not last long, as in February 2000, they released another bear named The Beginning. At this point, though, children were moving on and were more interested in the next big thing. Beanie Baby sales declined by a whopping 90% in the early 2000s. So, now what? Some people had viewed Beanie Babies as a long-term investment and had been putting a lot of money into their collection, often with the best intentions, thinking they're going to be able to fund their children's education with their profits. What was once a high-value collection at its peak in the 90s may now be virtually worthless in comparison. In 2010, a filmmaker by the name of Chris Robinson made a short documentary about his family's experience with the Beanie Baby craze. The doc outlined the obsession his father had with collecting the toys, hoping to one day earn enough profit from resale to pay for the college education of his sons. His collection is vast, containing hundreds of toys, boxes and boxes, some sealed in display cases and others hidden away for safekeeping. The film tells the story of the children's childhood being tainted by their father's obsession to get as many of the collectibles as possible, making them spend evening and weekends driving around to stores and sending them in individually to buy as many as the staff would allow, splitting up to maximise purchase amounts and resorting to pretending that they don't know each other when going in to make purchases. It appears that all of these efforts pretty much amounted to nothing, as the family held on to the collection for too long and missed the opportunity to sell them during the market peak. Since then, the resale value has crashed, and it appears the family missed the boat on making their millions. I hope that a nostalgic boom will resurrect the market for Beanie Babies, and these guys will get a big payoff one day. My fingers are crossed for you guys. You can find this short documentary by searching for Chris Robinson on YouTube. The film's titled Bankrupt by Beanies. Shortly before that documentary, in 2009, Beanie Boos were released, which are a new version of the animal toys that are more cartoonish looking, having big eyes and big heads for a cuter appearance. These versions contained a mixture of both the classic bean filling and traditional teddy bear fluff. These critters had colourful eyes and are much more sturdier than the originals, being well-filled so that they can stand to attention like a dog requesting cheese tacks. I probably share most 90s kids' feelings towards these creations. They lack the same posing ability and charm of the underfilled pellet vessels that were the original Beanie Babies, the old ones sporting beetle black eyes and a drunken stoop. Buy them and put them on a shelf or in a weird net hammock thing above your bed. Keep them pristine and clean. That was the way of the first gen toys. I can kind of see why they appealed more to adults, really. The Boos' extra stuffing makes them much more of a playable toy and slightly more age-appropriate for kids who want to hug, snug and have tea party adventures with their animals. The new Beanie Babies that have been released followed suit and have much more of a toony look. Big colourful irises and big heads, again, lacking the charm of Gobbles the Turkey or Quackers the Duck, who for some reason didn't have any wings. He must have been a farmer's duck and had them clipped. Later models did have wings, which obviously made the 1994 retired version worth a fortune back in day. The value of the fabled beast seems to change. I can see that a version with wings goes for about £18 on the popular auction sites in the UK. I couldn't find an original wingless version, but I did find a Beanie Buddy edition from 1998 that was on sale for £49. The same seller had Trap the Mouse. That's a mouse called Trap, not a mousetrap. They were selling that for £320, which is a 6,300% profit if it was bought for its original price of £5. You have no idea how much willpower it took not to buy this thing. It looks to be in perfect condition. And yes, it has a tag protector. Some go for more than that, even now. But what's the demand like? It's hard to say whether someone will actually pay thousands for a purple Princess the Bear. Digressions aside, other modern Thai ink creations are Beanie Balls, which are a near spherical shaped plushie, not what you know. A similar yet larger and rounder squashable beanie friend is called a squishy beanie or squishy beanies. These seem like weird pillow type animals intended for hugs and nap time. The new versions aren't alone, as the Thai company also sell Beanie Baby style clips for your bag or keychain, as well as other fashion items like slippers, sliders, and mini purses. I don't know why I made a noise like you'd eat one. It's a purse, I think you keep money in it. Anyway, they also keep on top of trends with licensed products for movie releases and also toys for the holidays, such as Sprinkles, which is a pink cow holding a red heart. So you can give your significant other mixed signals on Valentine's Day. Here you go, love. This reminded me of you. In recent years, Thai Ink have released Beanie Babies in support of charitable causes. In 2020, Thai released Katie the Koala to raise funds for an animal rescue organisation in Australia called WIRES. That's Wildlife Information Rescue and Education Service Incorporated. Profits from a limited edition Beanie Boo, a multicoloured bear named Hope, were donated to the United Way Worldwide COVID-19 Fund. Although the company creators who made Beanie Babies didn't see the sky-high profits from the resale boom, they did shift an awful lot of units. They still make and release products today, and they might not be as popular as they once were, but they're still going strong. So, what do you think? Did you have these toys? Do you still have these toys? Will you sell them one day or keep them as treasured family heirlooms to remind you of a time when the world went crazy for bean-filled animals that looked like roadkill? I never sold my Beanie Babies or even the teeny beanies that we got stuck on the wall. I unfortunately don't have them now either though. They just disappeared a long time ago, apparently for no reason. Just like my Pokemon cards. And my Crazy Bones. And Scoobies. Actually, whilst I think about it, where the hell did my Beyblades go? Now that's what I call nostalgia. Right. I want to know, did you make any money or even get rich off Beanie Babies? Or perhaps you made a loss? I want to hear about your experiences either way, so hit up at Vivid Recall on the platform known as X. Search at Vivid Recall Podcast on Instagram to see some extras, updates and information regarding today's episode. There, you'll see some bits and bobs from today, as well as a host of other cool things. Look, you've made it this far, so please do rate this podcast 5 stars, as well as posting about it and sharing it with your friends and family. Pick 3 people and send it to them. It'll really help me out. And of course, make sure that you're subscribed and that you follow the podcast so you don't miss any future releases. If you're on Spotify, tap that little bell notification and then it'll tell you when the next episode's out. Convenient. It's usually on a Wednesday. I'll stop waffling on and here is a taster of what's in store next time. Next time on Vivid Recall. The never-ending summer that was the 1990s, which splashed over into the early 2000s, was filled with playing outside until sundown, waiting to hear the faint screaming from your mother's voice as she yelled your name to get back inside. Sundown meant home time, and the cease of your game of Kirby, tag, or simply racing down the hill on your skateboard or in your mate's noddy car. Those 6 weeks of summer went on forever, and the hotter days meant one thing: chasing the local ice cream van until you hear the shriek of one of the neighbourhood kids boom the words, "Water fight!" Panic sets in as you race home, ransack the garden shed or garage, looking for the super soaker that your nan bought you for Christmas last year. The 6 month wait for you to bust out the water cannon has been worth it, as you mow down all of your friends, now drenched enemies, who try to fight back with their feeble squeeze bulb and piston pump squirt guns. You and your separate air pressure firing chamber obliterate your opponents right before you're slapped across your face by a water balloon, thrown by an older boy who could probably beat you up. Was the Super Soaker the best water pistol in the world? Find out next time on your new favourite podcast that gives you a vivid recall of your childhood. The Vivid Recall podcast was produced by me, Andre T. Kemp. I co-wrote this episode with Ashley Fallon, so thanks to her for the help. If you're looking for the sources of this episode, all are listed in the show's description. Plus, there you'll find some links to some other cool stuff. Thanks for listening right to the end, and I'll catch you next time.